Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of the Scanline Media Game of the Year 2015 conversation. Join the conversation at hashtag... No, I'm kidding. This is Colin Detmar, running the show again. I'm joined by Ben Uncle.
Hey.
And Johnny Niska.
Hello.
And we have our list of the 10 best games of the year, but this list is currently unordered, and we need to bring order to this list. Our list is Splatoon, Fly Wrench, Kerbal Space Program, Dota 2, Cities Skylines, Life is Strange, Mario Maker, Soma, Undertale, Until Dawn. Now, I gave this a little bit of thought, you guys. And I think, at least to start with, we should just indicate whether we think something belongs in the upper half or the lower half. Because if we're arguing about specific numbers, this is going to take a million years.
Okay.
We need to get a general idea first. Does that seem agreeable?
Yeah. I feel like Fly Wrench barely made it in, so I think it belongs somewhere near the bottom.
I agree.
I would not personally, but I mean, I can accept that considering I'm the only one who gives a shit.
Okay. I feel the same way about Soma.
Alright, fair.
Against the rest of this list, sure.
Okay. I think Mario Maker is in the top.
Yep.
I can agree with that, sure.
Undertale is in the top. That is a factual statement.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I was quietly waiting to see how that went over.
I think Life is Strange is in the top.
I guess it probably is, I guess. Sure. Okay, I guess Until Dawn probably is.
Yeah.
I'm fine either way with that one.
Okay, let's... let me hold off on that one, because you guys, like, I was saying that based on you guys' feelings, right?
Okay.
If Johnny doesn't agree, then we're going to have to a conversation about that.
I'm fine either way with Until Dawn. I'm fine either way with Cities Skylines. I'm fine either way with Kerbal. And I'm fine either way with Splatoon.
Not to get all genreist or something like that, but I don't find either Kerbal Space Program or Cities Skylines more interesting than any of the other games on this list.
Are you saying perhaps that you are biased?
I guess.
I think I agree on Cities Skylines. I don't know that I agree on Kerbal.
Fair.
I think that they are about equal in terms of like how good a game is to just play by yourself. Kerbal is a fantastic game to play with friends as well.
Kerbal is an incredible thing. Okay, so we have currently 3 up, 3 down. And that leaves us with 4 left that we aren't sure where to put, I guess.
Splatoon, Kerbal, Dota 2, Until Dawn.
You know what? I'm gonna put Dota 2 down because, like, let's... You guys, yeah. I mean, it's probably number 2 on my list, personally, but
if I still liked the game the way I liked it last year, this would be a different conversation.
Yeah.
I think Splatoon is somewhere near the top.
I can put it in the upper half. I'm fine either way.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay.
And I would put Kerbal over Until Dawn.
I would as well.
All right, fine. If we're gonna, I'm good as long as Until Dawn is above at least one of the.
Well, that's the next step, right?
Yeah, that's the next step.
So we have our top 5 and bottom 5. Do we feel good about both of those? Our top 5 being Splatoon, Kerbal Space Program, Life is Strange, Mario Maker, and Undertale. Our bottom 5 being Fly Wrench, Dota 2, Cities Skylines, Soma, and Until Dawn.
Okay.
We okay about that?
Yeah.
Right?
Hmm.
Okay. Let's figure out the bottom 5.
Okay.
I think Fly Wrench is number 10.
I can agree with that.
Sure.
Okay.
I think Dota 2 is number 9 on the condition that you're the only one here who cares to have it on the list, Colin.
When you phrase it like that, it should probably be number 7.
Like I
yeah,
I,
all right.
I,
this is go. It's a strong list. Go ahead.
Okay.
I think it's kind of weird how you've turned on Dota 2 so dramatically, even though you kind of haven't. I don't know. It's weird, but that's not the conversation for
right now.
I have
complicated feelings about Dota 2. I do not want to give it awards over the rest of these.
All right, well.
Yeah.
Especially, like, Dota has been such a slowly evolving thing that's been in my life for so long. It feels really weird to put it as, like... Yeah. I have complicated feelings. It's hard for that.
Yeah, also, Dota 2 has reached a point where it's like all these... In 2014, Dota 2 was Dota 2. In 2015, Dota 2 is still Dota 2. Meanwhile, all these other games are trying all these other interesting ideas, and they're simply evolving by virtue of being wholly different things. So it's like saying, oh, soccer, best game of 2015. It's still soccer. It's still the same thing that it was years ago.
I don't think that's actually a fair comparison in the slightest, given how much soccer's rules are stagnant compared to Dota's.
But the basics of
I think that's half of a fair comparison. Only half.
Okay, NFL then. NFL changes their stuff all the time. They constantly
tweak
things.
But the only
thing
they're concerned with is not hurting people, which is good. You should be concerned about that because you're hurting too many people. But I still don't think it's like any comparison between Dota 2 and a regular sport on these terms is going to be inadequate. Like, I see what you're saying, and I already gave it a number 9. We don't have to talk about it anymore, but I don't think you're going to put into words an argument that I'm going to agree with.
Okay.
I think Soma's number... Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Arceus responded. I can cut this out, but Arceus responded. Do we want to take him in, even though we just started on this?
Yeah, we can start over.
Okay, then I'll ask
you. Wait, we're starting the whole thing over? Okay.
I don't think we should start over.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll sort this out. I mean,
I'll ask him if he...
Yeah, we're going to have to figure this out.
Yeah, because this means we're going to have to resync everything. We're going to...
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot.
At this point, starting over doesn't make sense, and a late joiner in the middle of the podcast would be kind of weird.
Yeah.
I think it's just too late.
Yeah, he just left Slack, so we'll...
Okay. Do you want me to clap just so you can more easily edit this?
No, as long as nobody has paused, this is super easy. Have you paused?
Okay.
No, I haven't paused, but if I clap, then it'll immediately clip, and there will be a visual indicator of where we started talking for real again, so you can edit more quickly.
No, I'm looking at my waveform. Like, it is super easy to notice pauses like this.
Okay. Should I go ahead and start talking for real then?
Sure.
Sure.
I think Soma's number 8.
I can live with that, sure. As long as we put Until Dawn on number 7? Number 6.
Didn't play it. I don't think that's my call to make.
I'm willing to put it over City Skylines.
Okay. Well, that's our bottom 5 sorted. That was quick and painless.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get painful. Undertale is the best game of the year.
I am still not sure about that versus one other game on this list. I want to start this bottom first.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think either Splatoon or Kerbal should be number 5.
I agree. I think it should be Kerbal.
I agree.
Okay, that is Kerbal. Kerbal is number 5. That makes Splatoon number 6, as I understand. Number 4.
Okay, that's a good possibility. Let me suggest this, though. What if Life is Strange was number 4?
What if the only game on here
that's badly written was number 4?
You in a fucking trash can right now.
That wasn't really coherent, Johnny. I just going to assume that you agreed with me that that game belongs in a trash can.
Your face belongs in a trash can.
I don't know what I'd do in there, but I guess I'm going to get outvoted on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So we've got a top 3 here.
Yeah.
Life is Strange, Mario Maker, Undertale. Let's talk about these.
Okay.
I sorted it. I think Mario Maker is the third best game of this year.
I mean, I could see an argument for being the best, honestly. I don't know if I'm there, but like, I could see an argument for it being the best.
Like, I think it's obvious by now, but my top 2 is Life is Strange and Undertale, and I've still not decided. Like, I've been thinking about this for weeks, and I've still not decided which one I like more.
Yeah.
Which is gonna become a problem, because I know you like Undertale more, and I know Ben likes Life is Strange more.
Like, we talked about games that, like, when we were saying, is this top 10 okay? I hinted at the fact that I was like, well, Life is Strange on here because you guys are care about it. That's fine. Like, it's gonna be in the top 3, I guess. But, like, it being at number 1 is basically unacceptable to me. Basically unacceptable.
I'm fine with it being number 3 because I feel like all three of us like Super Mario Maker. All three of us find some value in Undertale. And you do not find anything in Life is Strange, so number 3 seems fair for Life is Strange in that regard.
That's a very fair argument. You do know what that means, though. You do know what implications that is gonna have, right?
I understand that eventually this was going to boil down to Undertale versus something, and here's the thing. It's going to be really, really hard to
argue. I want to say, like, sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. I feel like there's an assumption being made. I can see Mario Maker as number 1. I'm probably leaning Undertale, but you could convince. It is certainly possible to convince me that it's Mario Maker.
Okay, but that's what I was going to get to. My problem is that most of my arguments for why Undertale should not be number 1 isn't so much why something else should be number 1. It's more of how Undertale is a bit of a failure.
Well, okay. Johnny?
Yeah?
Ben and I both think Life is Strange should be number 3.
Sure, Life is Strange can be number 3.
Okay. Talk to me about why Undertale fails, Ben.
Okay, basically, Undertale has some really neat ideas. It has some great characters. It has some really great writing. Great music. Great visuals. All that jazz. It is a very attractive game to watch. But as soon as you play it,
gameplay is super fun.
Johnny?
As soon as you play it, it doesn't break apart as much as at first. When you're seeing the little mechanics, it's like, aha, this is kind of a funny idea. This is something that would hold up very well in a game jam, for example. Something that you play for a bit, you play for like 30-40 minutes ago. I see what you did there. Fun idea. But it doesn't build in a fun way. It's just this idea that... It's an idea that strikes you as clever, but the way that you play through it is so atrocious. It just... The way that it handles... It basically, on one hand, the whole point of it is to sort of condemn RPGs for having you mindlessly kill these creatures, and it kind of pokes fun at the RPG tropes, but at the same time, if you put anyone in front of it who isn't in love with RPGs already, they're likely going to have a bad time, because the combat does not scale in a fun way. It is giant difficulty spikes. It is a situation where you can get yourself stuck in situations where you're watching the same cutscene 30 times because you cannot beat this one boss fight. And that is... I feel like we have moved ahead of that a long time ago. And just being brought back into that, being brought back into this thing where its ultimate point is just this one... Its writing is so much better than the one joke its mechanics tell over and over and over again, and the joke becomes less and less funny as you continue dying to it more and more.
So, I have counterpoints to the argument, and we can get to that. The part I want to address immediately is the part where I feel like you're factually wrong. Undertale goes out of its way when you go through a cutscene before a boss to say that on subsequent fights, it lets you skip it. That's built into the game, so I think that's just untrue.
Colin?
Yes?
I would like to note that, like, at least I have only seen... have only died to, like, a couple bosses, and those are the ones that are designed to be harder. So I'm not sure how much that goes for earlier fights.
That's a fair point. I apologize if that accusation was a bit much.
As for, like... Ben, like, you seem to think that the Undertale combat is only there to be a joke, but, like, over time, it clearly evolves into something that is supposed to be more than a joke. Whether you like it or not, I enjoyed that combat system tremendously.
If you have other arguments, I want to hear those too, because we already said that Undertale's combat system was one of our best ideas of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we already gave it that honor, so clearly that's not a ground on which you're going to see much from me and Johnny.
Okay. I also think that other than the ways that its plot goes, I feel like the ending system devalues it. I feel like the idea that the way that it basically punishes you for doing the things that it is asking you to do through the mechanics and through the tropes and stuff like that. And it's kind of that, it brings back to mind Spec Ops The Line, which... In fact, the very worst part of Spec Ops The Line, the part where it gives you an objective that you have no way of going around, you do it, and then it scolds you for doing so. And that is... When Spec Ops The Line first came out, I thought that was a bold choice. Now I recognize it as a non-choice, as something that is infuriating, something that just... It tries to make a point without actually successfully making the point, because it completely invalidates it by removing your control.
Colin,
Dishonored Syndrome.
Let me take this one.
Sure, sure.
Two things. I don't think it actually punishes you for with that sending system for doing... let's just be... This is going to be a bit... some spoilers, but like... There are three different endings to Undertale, and the like having played through it with the normal ending, then the pacifist ending, and then the genocide ending, I feel like the best way to experience that game is in that order, perhaps even skipping the genocide ending entirely. I don't think it at all punishes you for playing the way you're going to play through it the first time. Because the pacifist route is built so that it expects you to have played through the... It completely knows that you're going to go through the normal route first. It builds that into the story. It has... telling the specifics of that is one of the biggest spoiler things I could do for this game, so I will only do that if I absolutely have to. But I assure you that it's totally not expecting you to play through it the pacifist route the first time. The only, like... And I feel like fans on the internet who act like, oh no, you need to play the pacifist route, are doing the game an enormous disservice by just not at all considering what it's like the first time you play it.
On our website right now, there is a Let's Play of Undertale with me and Johnny. We were both going in fresh, not knowing really very much about the game. We, of course, got the normal ending because you can't get the pacifist ending your first time through.
Yeah.
And as the credits roll for that game, like, it's recorded, it's on mic, I lean back and I'm like, holy shit. Like, I'm not feeling like the game wagged its finger at me. I'm feeling blown the fuck away.
Yeah, it handles that masterfully.
I feel like you might have had a point with the game doesn't expect you to do this sort of stuff. If it's kind of similar to what Colin got frustrated with Dishonored. It's in the marketing. Like, it's people treat the pacifist ending like, oh, it's not something you're supposed to know about before when you go in. But it's the way that it markets itself. It says you have the option not to fight anything. And you know what that happens when you put that as a bullet point? People go in playing that way, and then it still finds ways to be like, no, you can't do this. You're out for at least your first playthrough.
I mean, even on your first playthrough, it is possible to literally kill no one.
Yeah.
I know Johnny may be thinking that there's one instance. There is an instance in which, while you're involved, someone else is killed. Still not by you. You still, like, that bullet point is true even on a normal playthrough.
Yeah, totally. And, in fact, you can do that, and, like, you can do the normal ending, and if you have a normal pacifist playthrough, you can load that save and just go do the pacifist-only stuff right after. Like, it doesn't... Like, you can do that. It doesn't actually force your hand at any point. So, I definitely feel like the comparison to... What's it called? The game where you fight in a desert city.
Oh. Spec Ops Online?
Yeah, the comparison to Spec Ops, I feel, is invalid because it just doesn't force you. It just doesn't.
Yeah, it's just...
And I feel like even on the Genocide playthrough, it doesn't really pull a Dishonored. It isn't like... I don't know. It's amazing how the writing works in that, because I feel like I haven't played the Genocide playthrough. I've watched stuff from it. And instead of feeling like a parent who's scolding you, it just feels like a world that's horrified by what you're doing.
Yeah, what you're doing just because you can. Like, that's literally what it is. There are things to experience here that we haven't done, so we're doing it. And the game is constantly going like, yeah, you can do this if you want to, but you probably shouldn't. Why should you would you murder all these people? And there is story content there if you want it, but, like, there's also, like, the way the game reacts to what you're doing is constantly in line with how that game world works. Like, there's some spoiler stuff I can drop with regards to that, but how that game accounts for your actions is pretty much flawless all the way. There is one moment where I feel like the first time you play it, it's kind of like... It kind of pulls a fast one on you because it wants you to play the normal playthrough first and, like, be like, no, you're just gonna have to... go through the normal one first. But the game is better for that, and it still doesn't force you. It's just being, it's just hard to avoid. Just and like it's hard to avoid killing someone when you're constantly battling people who want to kill you. Yes.
I feel like though, like, okay. So a lot of this fight is about Undertale. Super Mario Maker is an incredible achievement. Super Mario Maker is... Okay, so you remember when Super Mario Maker was coming out, and everyone was like, oh, you know, like, they're gonna... Are you guys gonna do, like, physics that are true to the various games? Like, is every game gonna have the right physics for that game? And everyone was like, oh, there's no way they're gonna do that. They were kind of right. It doesn't do the true physics of every game. Every game does have its own physics. It does Mario 1's physics better than Mario 1, and you can't tell unless you do a side-by-side. And then you're like, oh, wait, Mario 1 played bad.
Every one of those games feels controls the way you remember it, them controlling, but they didn't actually control.
Like, they all feel distinct. The level creation tools are a delight to use. It is... probably the I think it is the only user generation based game where I have made and uploaded things. I'm pretty sure it is literally the only one where I have done that. And I'm actually really looking forward to making another level. I've made 5. I want to make a 6th. I have enjoyed seeing what comes of it. I think it's like not only is it amazing, intuitive, and fun tool, it also gets to capitalize on the cultural cachet of Mario, and like that's kind of like, well, lucky you that they built the series behind you. But it still allows the game to reach heights that no other creation game can reach, just because we all know how Mario works. If you've used a controller, you know how Mario works. And so these levels, like, it's not like entering a Little Big Planet 2 level and looking at it and being like, what the fuck even is this? How does this control? What are the rules? I don't know any of this. You go into a Super Mario Maker level, and it's Mario. And it controls like Mario because it's Mario.
Yeah, Super Mario Maker doesn't need to have any pop-ups being like, this is the controls for this customized level that we've created. That's never happening. But also... as much as Super Mario Maker is an amazing achievement, it's also an amazing achievement that could have been twice as good if Nintendo understood, like, sorting tools and the realities of the internet and what happens when you let an enormous amount of people just upload shit to your database.
And I feel like that's a bummer, but I honestly can't hold it. I can hold that against... this is going to be a weird statement. I can hold that against the game's goodness. I can't hold it against the game's greatness.
I agree. And also...
I totally can, but...
also, it's the best sort of love letter to the series ever because they do so many... they get so many little details right. Like, they got back... They hired the original composers for the Super Nintendo and Nintendo games to come back and do themes for level styles that weren't originally in that, that weren't around when those games existed. They just put so much effort into every little piece of it, and if there's any part of it that messes up, it's likely going to be from your end as you basically take this Michelangelo style perfection of mechanics and draw a funny face on it. And it's great that it lets you do that. It's amazing that it lets you do that because it,
and it's,
yeah, you can take pipes and just shoot. You can take pipes and shoot coins out of them. You can mess with the building blocks of Mario so much and in so many different ways that as anyone who is familiar with it will not only know how to control it, they'll try it, can I do this, and their faces will just light up with glee when they realize they can.
And also, like, in a lot of ways, there's just so much brilliance going on in just a lot of elements of the basic design. Like, you want to upload a level, you have to prove that you can beat it, and then you have to prove you can beat it from the checkpoint. you want to, like, you want to play a level, you can play it just streaming, or you can download it and edit it yourself. You, like, if you upload a bunch of levels and those get approved, you can get more upload space. They're adding new objects all the time, and it's been actually really smart. I hate to give it to them because I was frustrated when it came out, but it's actually been super smart that they're not just rolling out more items. They're rolling out more complicated items as people get used to the game.
This was something we were talking about, like, a while ago, where you were frustrated about it. This was right before they announced the update with the checkpoints.
Yes, and like the day before, I said, like, no checkpoints, no buy, basically, and then they said they were adding checkpoints, and I went out and I bought it that day.
I still think it was really silly how extreme you were about that.
I completely agree. I completely agree. I got my hands on it, and I was like, wow, I was being stubborn for stubbornness' sake. It's a phenomenal thing. And, like, it's a creation game where it is enjoyable to watch someone create. That's unreal.
Yeah, they have all these amazing little sound effects and funny cat paws when you're placing items. And the best part is, they found a way to make the act of actually putting down a block musically feel super rewarding, because when you're placing blocks, it times up with the music in a way that just, you get into this rhythm and you almost...
It auto-tunes it to match the tune playing in the background.
Yeah.
I have found myself placing blocks I didn't need to place just because I wanted to keep the tune going.
It just goes, okay, we're in this part of the song, therefore it needs to have this sort of tone when it does the sound effect. That's fantastic. That's brilliant. They've done brilliant things with, like, timing gameplay to music, or, like, animations and stuff to music before in Mario. One of my favorite little touches was in New Super Mario Bros., the original, where the Goombas just, like, jumped on one of the, like, just did a little hop on one of the last beats of a thing. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But, all that said, I mean, I know that Ben absolutely doesn't agree with what I'm about to say, but I Super Mario Maker has flaws to me that are kind of a big deal, and Undertale doesn't.
Okay, I am a massive fan of Undertale, and I basically have never talked against it before. There are parts of Undertale I have problems with. I have problem with the way it handles, like, equipment and items. I think that all kind of sucks. I have problems with, I have problems with there being too many random encounters. Because, like, once you've solved if you're playing pacifist, or just not super violent anyway. Mm. Like, once you've solved an encounter with a monster, seeing it again is just a waste of your time.
Yeah, and that's one thing that played super into me getting completely fed up with combat to the point where I was almost at the end. I was like, nope, no more, because I just have, knowing the solution because I already solved the thing, and just having to go through the motions again and again was such a drag. And also, it has these systems that, essentially, the things like, go to this hotel room to level up, or if you talk to this one mouse right here and say the wrong thing, all of a sudden the yellow text that tells you when you can spare someone and flee will disappear. It has all these little esoteric decisions that don't add anything other than frustration.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You missed that part?
I guess I missed all of that, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's the part where if you talk to those little things near the beginning. If you talk to one of them, they're like, they mention something about, hey, do you want me to do something?
Oh, so like options menu stuff that's in the game.
Sort of, but it's something that you can stumble upon by accident and hit the wrong thing, and suddenly the game has changed and you can't change it back. And there's a bunch of little... And then there's the whole go to an inn, and it doesn't do a good job of explaining what the inns do, or the hotels do, or what anything does. And it also gives you a bunch of false information. Like, this one character says, hey, I'll pay you $600 for a glam burger, and then you find a glam burger and you take it back and I'm like, oh, hey, I see you have a glam burger, but we're not doing anything with it.
That one thing was kind of one of my big disappointments later on in the game. That character who doesn't buy a glam burger, even though she talks about how she wants a glam burger.
Slightly in the game's defense, like, she is with her friend, and her friend, like, her, she says, like, I would pay $600 for a glam burger, and her friend was like, seriously, don't do that. And then you go get the burger, and she's like, no, seriously, don't. You know,
yeah,
like it, I think that's some slightly clumsy communication on the game's part, but also, like, it did feel like a singular incident to me, and not...
Like, as I said, like, I'm not sure if you two caught this part of what I said, but there are issues in Undertale, but not there are none of them that feel, like, really significant to me, which there is in Super Mario Maker.
With some parts of the combat, like, not the combat, like, I stand by it being the best idea. I think the basis of the combat and its various forms is fantastic. I do think there are some difficulty issues. I do think there are some issues with the way items are implemented, and I do think there are some issues with the random encounter system. I do think those are significant issues altogether.
I don't think there is a problem with the difficulty curve of this game, but I know I'm in the minority here.
I mean, we've sort of hinted at it this whole time. Johnny, you're better at video games than we are.
Can I just, since Colin kind of expressed disbelief about this one particular fight that I did, can I just go into detail about it really quickly?
Sure.
Okay, it's the Miss Muffet fight. The spider girl, basically. And basically, the way that fight works, after you've seen the one lead-up thing, it doesn't play all the exact dialogue options from before when you're going up to her, but everything else about that goes the exact same way, so you still have to walk all the way over there. You have to slow down a bit and crawl to that next area, and that's a fight that cannot be won in any other way other than just sit it out. I mean, just survive.
There is one other way.
Well, but you can fight them, but yeah.
No, there's another way. I'm not going to spoil it. There is a way to end that fight in like 2 turns.
Okay.
But it is tricky to do, and
it's not the expected way to do it.
that fight is fucking hard.
That's the first fight in that game that I felt was legitimately challenging. And I know that other people have trouble with it. Across 3 playthroughs, I've died to it once. But I know that that's, like, one thing that people find to be a difficulty spike in that game.
Yeah, and the way that they set it up with the lead-up to it just reminded me of... It was flashbacks to the Kingdom Hearts 1 days of sitting through the Tarzan cutscene a million times in the last, like, 5 minutes, and you just want to throw your controller through the window and curse the developers for being so careless with your time.
That fucking Clayton and Chameleon fight was hard.
Yeah, that thing I heard, I had, no, not Clayton, burned into my head.
Hoo-hoo-hoo-ha.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I can only express my sympathy. Like, getting stuck in a single-player game sucks. Like, in a story-based thing. On the other hand, I don't... I feel like that's sort of an inherent problem with games that do this specific thing that I really like, which is this constantly increasing difficulty curve where I constantly have to challenge myself. And once it gets to the later parts of Undertale, that's definitely a thing that happens, and I enjoy so much. I love this fight. I love the spider fight. I love the Undertale fight. I love the Undyne fight. I love the Asgore fight. I think
you love some other fights thereafter that we're not going to talk about.
Yeah, There's one fight in that entire game that I feel like is almost a bit too much, and that's the one that's like, no, this is the secret hardest fight in the game.
This is like the no go fuck yourself fight.
Yeah, this is like,
because it really, like, yeah.
It's the, like, oh, you've intentionally gone and found the hardest fight in the game. Good job. Here, have a hard fight.
Yeah. Okay, so Johnny thinks Undertale is the best game of 2015. Ben thinks it's Super Mario Maker. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Shit. Shit. Like, this started as like, well, let's give Mario Maker a fair shake. And now it's like, ugh, so hard.
I'm gonna be a bit unfair, but it's time to take off the gloves here.
Sure.
As much as Mario Maker is really good, half of that is all, like, that they just happen to have a brand where they could actually get people to fucking engage with it. Because there have been brilliant level editors before that have done similar things. And most of the things that they do in Super Mario Maker is not that brilliant. It's just like, no, we actually made a level editor for this that works.
And I mean, the whole is more than the sum of its parts.
Sure,
and also,
sure.
I've tried a lot of those level editors and not given a shit.
Sure, and a lot of that appeal, like, that giving a shit, happens to be because it's Mario, and only Nintendo could have done that, because they own Mario. But,
sure.
So much of it that I see praised by people are, like, things like, no, I've seen this in a million other level editors for games before. This is, like, this is not that, like, the whole, you have to complete a level before uploading it. That everyone is constantly fucking talking about how brilliant it is. That's in every single one of them, practically. Everyone worth caring about has that. And, like...
Yeah, it's true.
And Undertale, like... It's not just that nothing else has succeeded as well as Undertale has... At what Undertale has done. I can't name anything else that's done what Undertale has done.
I can name games with better stories. I can name... And if we want to talk about whether Super Mario Maker has a bunch of other stuff from other level makers, it doesn't really matter because no one ever used those other level makers. And having it all together in this one that actually people use makes
feel... But is that what we're going to award the Game of the Year thing for? This is a game that got popular... and the other ones didn't.
I mean, I like, it's an unfair world. Like, what it gets, like, whether it's fair or not, the reality is that stuff has been created for that game, and you've been treated to an experience that you haven't had with other makers. Whether it's because the game was better designed or just because of the community doesn't matter at the end.
Sure, but it also, like, it's like the logical thing that would happen when someone eventually made this. And it's great, it really is. It's also the logical thing that would happen when someone made this. Undertale has made a thing that I didn't imagine would exist before I played it. It completely blew me away. It amazed me so many times through the course of playing it. Completely just... It trumped my expectations at every turn. At start, I didn't have a lot of them, but over the course of the game, it set expectations at every time it went above them. And the only other game on this list that at all has given me the same kind of amazing feelings that Undertale has is Life is Strange. Life is Strange, and we've already said that that's not the game of the year.
When we started that Undertale Let's Play, we set out on a journey and we didn't know where we were going. And it was something else. On the other hand, though, I don't know. Like, Mario Maker is just, it's phenomenal, and the things that have come out of it are amazing, but the thing that makes me love Mario Maker the most of all is that it's inspired me. Right? Like, I love Undertale. I think Undertale is incredible. And I think in, like, there are lots of ways where it is the single most incredible game on this list. But Undertale didn't make me create. Mario Maker kind of lit a fire, you know? And that's something I can't take lightly.
I'm gonna be a bit bitter about this, because I've been professing this fucking thing for ages. Like, games with level editors are amazing, because once you get over the fear, once you start interfacing with them and building things and having your friends play them, that is an amazing feeling. And the only thing that's come close to having a sort of audience before is fucking Little Big Planet, and that one wasn't deserving of it in the first place. Like,
I mean,
let me please finish my thought. Like, all of okay. these amazing level editors, like the Portal 2 one, like Trackmania even, has gone mostly untouched by the general player base, just because it feels so overwhelming. And just because Mario is such a household name, such a name that people feel safe to interact with, is half the reason it's gotten such a success. And I do feel a bit bitter that it's like, I've been saying this for ages and now everyone is amazed.
But I don't agree. I played the Far Cry Instincts I think it was Predator was the name of it, which was the Xbox 360 port of Far Cry Instincts and Instincts Evolution, or whatever Instincts 2 was. That game kind of sucked. It had a pretty good level editor. My friends and I will still play this when we meet up. We still have levels that we built ourselves, and they are still occasionally making new levels for it, and I will occasionally make new levels for it and play it. That is probably the level editor I've used more than any other level editor. We did a bunch of stuff in Halo 3 with the Forge, and not only was that level editing, sometimes that was level editing while people fought around you. I have had those experiences before. It's not like this is my first time around on this shit. Mario Maker is different.
So I need to ask, like, I think that the Halo, like, I don't think the Halo Forge is a level editor that counts with these. Like,
it's not in the same way, but
I feel like the Halo Forge is like a half step towards a proper level editor, pared down for a console, and it gets some of that across. But even at its best, Halo Forge can never do the things, the levels of creativity that you get into with a proper level editor, like the ones I
have
mentioned.
I think that's true, but I also think it has strengths that those other games don't have. Like the ability to play with it while creation is happening.
Sure.
To make creation part of the play.
Sure. And that's kind of cool. It's just a shame that it's not powerful enough to actually let you do the cool creative stuff that you'd want to do with it. I haven't played Far Cry Instinct, so I don't know if that level editor is better. But, I mean, I'm going to be a bit prejudiced here and say that I can't imagine a level editor for a shooter on the console that's any good.
I mean, I don't think that's not my point. My point isn't that it's like, I mean, that is actually, I guess that is my point, right? Which is Mario Maker is so much better than those. And I did, like, you're talking about how the difference is that people got into this one. I got into those ones. This isn't my first time getting into one. It's not just that I got over the hump.
Yeah, but like,
it's that Mario Maker is a better level editor.
Like, But what I'm asking is, have you gotten into one that's actually any good? Because I feel like the ones I mentioned are, and like actually do let you channel that creativity in the way that I see so many people channeling the creativity in Super Mario Maker. And I feel
I think the Instincts one is pretty good.
And I feel like at least Forge isn't at all.
Forge is a different thing entirely. The Instincts level editor, I think, is pretty good.
Does that have something to do with the fact that Far Cry Instincts really fucking sucks?
That's part of what made it, like, this is a tangent, but that's part of what made it special, is that you were creating these pretty cool levels, and you went into them, and the game was kind of dumb as shit, and it was magical. But, like, okay, look, I've waffled long enough, right?
You've waffled quite a bit. I feel like we can take a few seconds, though, and, like, I feel like some of these games got brushed aside real quick, and we almost didn't talk about what they are.
Yeah.
Until Dawn, specifically, we just completely brushed over.
I feel like we...
If you're still awake and conscious.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I feel like lots of these games we didn't touch into super heavily because we have already talked about them at length in the other podcast. We have already discussed how we feel about those games ultimately in the other podcast.
Is that true for Until Dawn?
Yeah, we talked about Until Dawn fairly extensively.
Okay, then I just want to make sure that nothing really gets left behind there.
I do feel like Kerbal Space Program kind of got left behind.
Okay, for those who haven't played Kerbal, it's basically a NASA simulator. You're running a company that's a spacefaring company that's trying to get people up into space and do like science stuff, and then you get different contracts that give you access to things, and there's a career mode and there's a sandbox mode, but it's just fantastically fun to build together your little rockets and seeing what works and doing little adjustments and crashing horribly into the surface of the moon or many other crazy things like that. Accidentally shooting a rocket into the sun, that one's amazing. Done that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, I'm throwing my vote for Scanline Media's 2015 Game of the Year to Undertale. Both of these games are absolutely phenomenal, and I think, like, it goes without question that you should play both of these games. I'm sure we all have votes for other games here that you need to play too, but, like, Mario Maker, I think, is the best level editor ever made, along with a bunch of tools to support it, and that's a phenomenal thing, and I'm going to continue to play it for a long time. But Undertale is a phenomenon. Undertale is a revelation, and I can't... It has to take home the prize. Undertale is the best game of 2015.
I want to, like... All of these 10 games, I think, are great games, even though I've personally... Like, I find more frustration than joy with Dota at this point. But especially our top three... Undertale, Super Mario Maker, and Life is Strange are... I will go this far. I think they are the best examples ever of their specific niches. And I think all of their things they do are incredibly important trends that they are the best examples we've ever seen of.
And we skated over it real quick. I have a lot of problems with Life is Strange myself. But I have no end of respect for what it has done for other people. And I'm not saying that as like a flippant answer, right? It's like a lot of parts of it really kind of drove me crazy and I didn't end up seeing the thing home. I have no doubt that it gets phenomenal in the later half. And I think like the ways in which it can speak to people are ways that we are all better for having a game speak to people. If for the fact that I don't like it very much, it's something very special.
Ben? I feel like you've been pretty quiet in this later part.
I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what else I need to add other than, yeah, I feel like ultimately, even though my top 10 would probably look vastly different than a lot of this, I'm pretty happy with being able to put out what I've put out and getting what I've gotten on there.
I would have...
So, go ahead.
I mean, like, if we're looking at this, there's not a single thing on this list that I don't think should be on this list. So, like, if we're counting winners, I guess I won. That's silly, though. Like, I feel like...
Congratulations.
I won the game of the Johnny. Year! No, but, like, I feel like we've compiled a list here that's got some amazing things on it from a very different, like, varied range of genres and approaches that all is excellence in one way or another.
And I'm pretty proud of what we've got here. So, those are our games of the year. Our top 10 list is in ascending order. Number 10, Fly Wrench. Number 2, number 10, Fly Wrench. Number 9, Dota 2. Number 8, Soma. Number 7, Cities Skylines. Number 6, Until Dawn. Number 5, Kerbal Space Program. Number 4, Splatoon. Number 3, Life is Strange. Number 2, Super Mario Maker. And our overall number 1 game of the year for 2015 is Undertale. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Johnny, and thank you especially, Ben, for putting up with me and Johnny just going at it for a while.
No worries.
We're each going to have individual lists. I'm not going to say top 10 lists because I'm not sure that will be true.
I will make an article that somehow sums up the year for me in gaming. I'm not committing to what form it will take yet.
Sure. So we will each have our own individualized pieces about the games of the year from our own perspectives, but from all of us here at Scanline Media, I'm actually feeling more positive on the year now that we're done than I am when we started. It's been a pretty incredible 2015, and I'm pretty excited for 2016.
Yeah.
I could go on for hours and hours about, like, how important in a good way this year has been, but I'll be writing an article for that.
Yeah. So, this has been a production of Scanline Media. We're at scanlinemedia.com, where we do games, reviews, and criticism, primarily. We also have a Patreon if you want to support us at patreon.com/scanlinemedia. Contributions will help us get new software and hardware to expand our coverage. And we've been putting that money to some use. We've got, like, there are some games that would not be on here if we didn't have that money. I want to give a brief little shout-out to Yakuza 5, which I just didn't quite play enough of to put on this list. It was real close.
Considering none of the rest of us played it, it wouldn't have made it in the top ten.
But that's a special game. Anyway, so look forward to more coverage from us in 2016, and thanks so much for all your support through this year. It's been really great with you guys having our backs. Ben, any closing thoughts for 2015?
I really, really liked this year. Every time that there's always a period within the middle of the year that feels like it might be a bit of a down year, you're not feeling it. And then for some reason in December, things just kind of, in the winter, things just start rushing at you and you realize, oh wait, this year's been great. And Yeah.
I think it's kind of funny because traditionally this like October, November, December window has been the big AAA releases hitting. For me, it's been like the cool indie things hitting.
Yeah. Any, what do you want to say to 2015 before she leaves, Johnny?
Hi.
All right, folks. That's it for us.
I think I've said enough. Here's Scanline Media. I think I've said enough.
Yeah. You'll see more from us in 2016 for sure. Thanks, and peace out.
Bye.
Bye.